In a minute, I'm going to read some verses from Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. But I'm very mindful that we're living in a week where choices are going to be made. But life's full of choices. Life's full of choices. Some are quite trivial and unimportant. And some choices are extremely important. And some choices, if we get them wrong, have ongoing consequences for us. So I'm not going to stand here and suggest that you might vote for this party or any other party, so you don't need to worry. You're okay. Lynn might be worried if I was to do that. But life's full of all sorts of little choices, really. Here we are. What to wear to church. It used to be quite a big thing. And I thought, as it's getting near Christmas, I ought to try and look smart, you see. And I know that some of you like me to look smart. So I thought perhaps I should wear a tie. But I couldn't make up my mind which tie to wear. So I brought several. Yeah. Some choices, you can tell me, and I might put one on yet. If I hold that one, my wife would say, that makes you look like a second-hand car salesman. All right. No, you don't like that one? What about, now that's quite a tasteful little number. David's going, no, I don't like that one. I know which one he's going to pick and it won't fit my shirt. You don't know about that one. It's quite nice. Paisley sort of, you know, Laura Ashley looking really quite. Or there's one that's quite sober, which I wore to visit, I think when we went down. Did I wear a tie to visit the guy down there?
Yeah.
It's the only one I have now, but it's my posh tie. I've got a black version of it for other occasions, but no. Oh, I've got this one. That's my Ugandan tie. You'd never guess, would you? David, you like that one, don't you?
No, it's
he's horrible. So if I was to wear a tie, you see, I couldn't make up my mind. I thought, now, I've got some jolly ties. Which one do you fancy, then? Which one? This, the serious one. Anyone else? Would you prefer? Huh? You know, I think I prefer the car salesman as well. What do you think? I'm sorry, I should have dressed before I came, really. It's the choice is so hard in the morning. I've got all this preparation to do, and then we're driving. And you can't really put a tie on when you're driving, can you? Which one did you say? Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I don't upset David.
I like
the paint.
Yes.
Oh! That one? Are you sure? That's it then. I'm sorry, David, you lost Doug. I would have given in to both of you, except, of course, my wife said this one, so I had to do some told. Well, no, I've worn it in years. I used to have to wear it every Sunday. We used to have to wear ties to church. You ever remember that? Yeah. In the good old days. I can't even get the thing on there. Like I've messed it all up. I don't think it's going to happen. Oh dear. No, might have to come off. It can't work. I'm sorry, you can't have a tie now. It's caught up in that. See, the choice was, but you all made a bad choice there because it got tangled up with it. How's that going there? Choices, they flummox you, don't they, sometimes? What am I going to do? That's it. I don't know why I'll wear this thing anyway, really. That's it. Best I can do, Lynn. I know. Well, they'd be thrilled. At least they can't see what a fool I've made of myself, really, can they? But there are more. That's a trivial choice, isn't it? Really. But there are more important choices that we have to make in life as well. You know, a choice of a school for your children. You try and get do the best you can. That's not easy sometimes. I'll get asked to write little letters and things for people to try and get the right schools. Who to marry? They're sort of important. The job and the career that you might have. A house to buy. Which car you're going to have. All those, where we're going to live. Which church to go to. All those sorts of things. And yes, of course, more important things like this week, voting. You wondered how they'd get that in. That was quite cleverly done. Seamlessly, wasn't it, really? And if we make bad choices on things, sometimes they can have ongoing consequences. The Bible says bad friendships corrupt your character, for instance. So if we have wrong friendships sometimes, or we go work in a wrong job sometimes because we wanted it because it paid me more money or it did this, that and the other without inquiring maybe what God might want. Because you see, when we're the Lord's, we have a free choice. But we want to surrender it to, what do you want, Lord? Where would you like me to live? Where would you like me to work? How do you want me to spend my money? So we surrender our free choice, and God works with that to help us make right choices. It doesn't take us over. But there are bad consequences sometimes. Some friendships can cause you ongoing problems. We see that. Quite difficult, really. So, choices affect us then, our individual choices, for good or for bad. They also affect other people for good or for bad, don't they? Is that correct? And I have to say, I believe it's the same with an election, the choices that we have to make. But for most of the nation, probably 90%, 95% won't have the filter of God's choice in it. It's just what I think, what I can get, what I want. You haven't done this for me, rather than thinking bigger. But wrong choices lead, as we see right across the world, can lead to ongoing consequences. Now that's the same in the scripture that I'm going to read you this morning. Joshua chapter 24. A fantastic piece of scripture. I want to read from verse 14. Joshua 24 from verse 14. In fact, I'll read from verse 13. Up until verse 13 or 14, this is Joshua's last main sermon, his main address to the people of Israel. But if you have a good look at it, he's speaking it like a prophecy up until verse 14. It's like God speaking directly through Joshua to the people. And that is what preaching should be, and that's what the prophetic gift is that God, so it's in the first person. And I led you here, and I did this. Did Joshua do that? Actually, he was involved with it, but actually it's God speaking to his people. God speaking directly. And then we pick the end of that up in verse 13, and it says this. So God says, I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities that you did not build. And you live in them, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. That's God speaking directly to the people. But then it seems to change a little bit now. Perhaps we're back to Joshua speaking and exalting the people. So it says, now fear the Lord. That's not in the first person. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. You can read it now, worship the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you are living. As for me and my household, says Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it for us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from a land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travelled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who were pretty fierce and to be feared greatly, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord. He's holy. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. And if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been so good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. And now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that you say you haven't got, that you don't want to serve, but why have you kept them anyway, really? But he says, then if that's true, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people there at Shechem and drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law. Then he took a large stone and set it up there underneath an oak. It's a holy place to the Lord. That's a ritual that was carried out actually not just by the Israelites, but that's a covenant or a recommitment to a covenant being agreed by the whole people of Israel. But it's really interesting here. This is the last sermon that Joshua, the last great assembly that he gathers everybody together. They're all there. It's like a huge rally. It's a huge, if you've ever been to a big conference or something, it's huge, it's enormous. Everybody's there. It's very solemn. And quite clearly, Joshua is quite well advanced in years now, and there he is, he's talking to the people, he's exalting them, and he's wanting them to serve the Lord. He wants Israel to choose to worship and serve the Lord. But God, through Joshua, makes it quite clear, actually, that it's their choice. That it's got to be a free will choice to serve and follow God. You cannot force your children to be Christian, even though they may be born in a Christian family. It doesn't work like that. And when we think it does, I'm Christian. And that's what happens sometimes in various parts. So we're Christian. That's what we were born, but I have not chosen to make my own covenant with God. It was made for me. That's what's so important. We talked about baptism. Baptism is a covenant made between you and God. It's a symbol of something that I have to choose for yourself. You can't be forced. So even if we bring children to be baptized in another circumstance, that isn't their choice. Somewhere down the line, they will have to make their own choice, their own decision. And this is what he's saying here. You've lived through all this. Now, this generation, it's your choice. Will you choose? Just because I'm born in this country or born in this particular community does not make, and just because they were born in Israel, just because their parents had seen mighty things in their grandparents, does not mean that they are agreeing to it themselves. We actually have to choose, and a choice as it has to be a free choice. God won't compel. We can try and compel our children or manipulate us or manipulate them to make a choice that we want them to take. But God won't do that. What we see is Joshua leading by example. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Our choice. We choose to serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter however enthusiastic the preacher might be, however emotive it might be, however persuasive it might be, we still have to make a choice that has to be completely free. The people must choose here. Choose to fear the Lord. It says, fear the Lord and serve him. Well, actually, we choose to freely. Fear equals worship. Same thing. Okay, in the Hebrew language, it can be understood as the same thing. We fear the Lord, we worship the Lord. Fear the Lord, worship the Lord. What it wants is that we've got to, even though we might have a past history, we have to choose to serve him now. Joshua points out that they, all the wonderful things that God's done for them in this, if you read the preceding verses of this scripture, and the chapter before, he's pointed out all the good things that God's done for the people of Israel, how he's loved them, how he's delivered them. But now they have to make a solemn choice and a solemn acclamation that they for themselves are choosing God's truth. They're choosing God's truth, not the lies of the world. They're choosing the one who is all truth, who doesn't lie, who doesn't steal, who doesn't cheat, who is the perfect standard. They're choosing to align themselves with the perfect standard. Sadly, when we look in this world, wherever we look, we don't see that perfect standard. It's why people get disillusioned with politics, because it's not based on God's truth, God's perfect law, God's plumb line, which makes it true and straight and correct. But Joshua's saying, choose God's truth. He's got a good track record, he says. You know, see what he's done for you, how he's led you through, how you're living in cities that you didn't build, how you're eating from vineyards and eating grapes and olives that you didn't plant. How God went before you and you barely did any fighting. He did it for you. He drove them out. It says he sent a hornet before you to drive out the people. That it was remarkable what God's done for you. He's got a perfect track record. There's no fake news saying, oh, this is true. It never really happened, of course. You know, we even get that this week. Is this true? Is that true? We live in a world we don't know what's true. Did the Russians write this? Did somebody else do that? What we know is the people living there knew that their God had delivered them from Egypt. They were living proof of it. This is a track record that is true and just. And God also acted when they sinned. Like when Achan sinned and that, Israel lost. You know, we've looked a bit at Joshua in the past. But he's saying there's no fake news here. But he's saying to them, you've got a choice. You see, if you've only got one thing to choose, you haven't got a choice, have you? That's why sometimes I find it difficult with some theological training for some people. That's, you know, particularly in some of our newer churches, where they only teach you their stream and nothing else. So you haven't got anything to compare to choose from. It's this or nothing. So you live in China, you've got one choice, the Communist Party, and whoever they put up, you know, to use a modern example. But there has to be a choice. So I was really thrilled, actually, when Joanna went to DNA, because that's one of the new streams of teaching that actually is now going to become available for people at weekends if you want to learn, rather than go on a two-year course or a year course like Joanna did. Where they give you opinions. This is what's said about this thing. You can choose. And it's important for us. God's designed us with free will to be able to choose. And sometimes he allows us to choose the wrong thing so that in time we choose the right thing. You ever notice that? I've even found that with some of the theology that I have. Some of the things I thought I believed held very dear as a young person have slightly changed as I've got older. But I won't go there because that puzzles you, doesn't it? You have to ask me which ones. If Wayne was here, he'd ask me that. But as he's not here, I'm hoping I might get away with that today. So he says here in verse 15, but if all that is true, if you've seen all that, but if you think serving God is not a desirable thing to do now, you've grown out of it, you've got where you needed to be, it's all fine, it's yesterday's stuff. It was all right for your parents, but not for you. Then you must choose still. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose who you will let lead you. Will it be the God of Israel or the foreign gods? And you see, what's interesting, after all this is said by Joshua in verse 16, and as I said, maybe if you've ever been to a great, I've been to a lot with singing about revival songs there. I've been to some big old revivals in America and places, and I've seen God do some mighty things over the years. And you can go to a conference like that where you can be very stirred and very moved with great music and great oratory. And you can be stirred and moved. And it's very easy, which is what the people do here. Verse 18, we too will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord because he's our God. Well, the message says this in verse 19. Joshua says to them this, you can't do it. You're not able to worship the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And he won't put up with your fooling around and sinning. That's what it says in the message. You like that? You can't do it. You're not able to worship the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. A holy God means he's perfect. He's upright. His standards and everything is absolutely spot on. He won't say one thing and do something else. It's absolutely correct what he says he will do. But they say, no, no, we will serve the Lord and we will worship. But you see, they say they do it and then Joshua challenges them because words are cheap and easy. Goodness me, you've only got to turn the telly on. Or if you've got 2 hours to waste, listen to politicians debating. Words come. And the better you politician you are, the more verbose you are, the more words you have to share. And they're easy. Words are easy. I'm a preacher, I know. Words are easy. They are. But actually, Joshua's saying, the words ain't any good by themselves. They won't carry you anywhere. I'm going to serve God. I think of how many people put their hand up at a great conference or great rally. I will serve God. I will do anything. Only within weeks to have forgotten all that they said. And something else gets right. I will go to the end of the earth for you. Oh, but I've got a huge credit card bill, so I can't possibly go. No, I can't go because it would interfere with my job. I'd have to sell my car. All sorts of reasons we will make why we can't do something for God. And Joshua knows and God knows. So he challenges, are you really serious about what you're saying? The choice you're saying. Because Joshua says that actions and loyalty that you have for God must match your words. Actions and loyalty must match your words. And you know, that is true in every generation of people that follow God, that our actions are as important. Faith without works is dead, James has to write in the New Testament. That I say, I've got faith and you've got works. It needs to be proven. It needs to have a track record of actually doing the stuff as well as just saying, I believe it. Do you know what? The devil believes all this. He believes it all. But he don't do it. And it's easy for us. Say, I believe it. Yes, I am a follower of Jesus. And at the first instant, I turn back and I start worshipping the gods of this age. Fear, money, position and power. All those other things. Am I making sense to you this morning? You see, faith must be expressed in selflessness, in loving actions, not empty words and broken promises. So the people a second time have heard Joshua saying, you're not able to do this. I think it's verse 21. We will serve the Lord, it says in, I think it's in the message. We will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord our God and obey him. Verse 23 in the message then Joshua says to them, then they are voting, they're putting their vote unequivocally, well, that's hard to say for me, unequivocally, to say yes to God, the God of Israel. There's no doubt. We can't be a floating voter when it comes to God. Oh, that was quite good, wasn't it? That was seamlessly done as well. Can't be a floating voter. Oh, well, we're liking this time, but we don't. Is it? No, you have to choose. It's quite interesting, you see. For us to say, I give you my vote, God, he demands our love and our loyalty. He demands it's people's love and loyalty. He doesn't make false promises to us, but he genuinely cares for us. He will protect us. He will guide us, and he will never leave us. And the good thing is, you actually don't matter what you vote. Even if the people voted, we want the other gods. Actually, they were the losers. Because actually, God can't be voted out. He's not a Democrat, you see. Or a Republican. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. But you know what I mean. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He's the God above all others. Because the others are not gods. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-caring. But he is holy and demands our loyalty. And so Joshua's saying to them, if you say yes, yes, which is what they keep saying, and they say yes, this is an unequivocal yes to God, the God of Israel. We are saying we will do this. If that's the case, and you want his protection, then throw away the gods that you've been screwing away, just in case. Just in case. Well, they belong to her parents. Yeah. You know, they need to go. You affirm for yourself and this generation, we're going to serve God. And I believe there comes a time in every church where we have to make reaffirming that, yes, we are committed to the Lord and his ways, whatever's going on around us. And he says, I'll guide you, I'll protect you. Was it easy getting out of Egypt? No. Did they have to endure plagues all around them and all the rest of it? Yes. Were the people pleased to see them, the lands they went through? No, they weren't. It wasn't a guarantee of an easy life, but it was a guarantee of God getting you to where you need to be. I am with you. I will deliver you. And I will bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. So if we're on the journey, it's very easy to want to turn back because it seems a bit rough and there are a few big giants in the way. Oh, there's giants there. We've got a God who's bigger than all that stuff. And whatever may occur this week, it's quite interesting to note that politicians come and go. But the Lord endures forever and ever. And his love endures for each generation who love him. And he loves them. He can't be voted out. He, in him, we are safe and secure. Amen? So how do I finish this? Well, because that's nice there, but we still got to go and put a cross somewhere on a piece of paper. Well, in a few days, we'll be asked to choose, not between the perfectness of God, but the imperfectness of human beings. Actually, the sinfulness of human beings that often set themselves up above God. Many of them may start with good intentions, but power corrupts, they say, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we see that wherever we are. Many people start very well, but don't finish very well. We see that with the kings of Israel. Not many of, well, of Israel, none of them were good. Of Judah, only a third of them were. You know, that human beings at the very best, we all let each other down. Where we're going to have to choose where lies and truth seem to merge together. And we know that the promises are likely to fail. That sounds very pessimistic, doesn't it? But let's be honest, you know, because I can think of people that get very, very involved in this stuff. We live in this world, but it's not our home. So well, we won't vote then, which is what actually many years ago, Baptists actually withdrew from society like that. And we were a complete separate entity. But we're called to be in the world, but not of it. So what am I saying to you? Well, don't vote. No. I'm saying that what we need to do is to recognise that we need to take out my personal preferences, my personal likes and dislikes. I hear sometimes, I don't like him, I don't like her. In fact, my family says that. They don't like any of them, which is probably true for most of us. But actually, we need to take out our own personal preferences. And I'm very thankful, actually, to the wider Baptist family. Don't often say that, but I will say that today. Who sent something out what we should be doing at the moment. We should love, we should pray, and we should vote. We should love, we should pray, and we should vote. And if that governs our thinking, so if we surrender my free choice and my preference to God, you might even find yourself voting what you weren't expecting to vote. Because God knows what we don't know. He knows the hearts of the people who we're voting for that we don't know. All we get is a lot of propaganda and so much bombardment of, you don't know what's true and what isn't, do you? Is this a true photograph? Isn't that a true photo? Yeah. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But you see, the Holy Spirit deep calls to deep within us. The Holy Spirit in me is in you. And we say, Lord, I would prefer this. I think this is better. But what do you want? So we pray. And I say, oh, what do you want, Lord? And as I've got the pencil in my hand, I say, Lord, what do you want? What's your will for this person in front of me? What's your will? Your will be done. And however much people annoy us, and I find myself shouting at the television screen, do you find any of that? You know, I think, because they drive you mad. Because actually, if there's something in you that you just know that this is not quite true, there's something in you that it offends. And I don't think it's just you. That God's Spirit within us reacts. And I think we just need to be praying, Lord, guide me. So I'm handing up my freedom for you to help me. He will not compel you. You won't do this and you'll suddenly do this and go, oh, look, I voted like this. So I'm not saying we go there and go, oh, Lord, oh, I voted for the bit of wood at the top. I'm sorry, I missed it altogether. No, that's nonsense, you know. Oh, Lord, shall I clean my teeth today? Oh, no, I have a cup of tea. No, you know. Oh, Lord, which tie shall I have? That was clever. That worked out very well. That's not faith either, is it? But we hear that still small voice. The scriptures start to speak to us. We hear that voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. That's the best I can offer you. But we're to love. even when we may find the people nauseating that are speaking to us because they don't appeal to me. We treat people as we'd like to be treated, which ought to take the venom out of what we do. If God's people, we need to try and be venomless and love more. Ask me how I get on at the end of the week. And I'll ask you. But as I said to you, politicians come and politicians go. Systems come and systems go. Great ideas of man come and go. But God's kingdom endures forever. So will you agree with me today? We say, your will be done, O Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, you protect us. You guide us. You never leave us. You're eternal. You can't be voted out. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Lord, we pray for peace for ourselves. We surrender our will to your will. We pray for peace for our communities and peace for our land. We pray at this time where people have forgotten you and you become just a shopping festival, that we, as we start this Advent time, will reaffirm and call you to come and dwell with us. Emmanuel, God with us. May your peace, the peace which passes all understanding, rest and remain with us. May the love of God, which knows no bounds, be upon us. And may we be examples in words and deeds of that great and wonderful deposit of grace that you've put in us through faith in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that one day we will see you face to face. One day your kingly rule will be complete and not polluted in any way. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay.